This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story.
Chapter 17. When Catriona had finished telling Tom the truth about her father, the pair became silent in each other's company. Neither wanted the silence, but it was there just the same. Awkward, a cloud of irrational fog hanging in the air that stopped them saying what they meant. They tried, of course. "I'm so sorry," said Tom, glancing briefly at the liquid satin of the stream. He touched her hands as they lay clasped on her lap and meant the words as they left his mouth. But the sentiment was confused by selfish thoughts he was too ashamed of to allow freedom to speak. Talk of family, of parents fighting each other for her love, awoke in Tom a longing to belong, to be loved as the girl was. And watching Craig and Cottage over Catriona's shoulder, listening to the gurgling water by his side, the nearby sea and the birds stirring their dreams with the coconut smell of yellow broom in the air, that longing tried to find its home in this place, as though Catriona and he were family, and he'd found his way home. He hugged her, his twin tears tracked her beautiful and tragic skin, and she hugged him back. Seconds later, with the smell of her hair dwarfing the broom, she pulled away to check on her father. Tom walked the beach. He skimmed stones and then retook his perch in the small rock tower he and the girl had shared before Sparky had interrupted them. He turned his back on the sea and looked at Cregan, searching for the source of familiarity he felt earlier. He was as certain as ever that he'd been here before, and now that he knew that his hosts were squatters, he wondered about its current owner. "Ferguson," Pickaxe Man had said. The name meant nothing to him. Tom's was Corvin. He recognised that, sure enough, so he would definitely recall another if there was a strong link. Probably. No, the name meant nothing, but Craig and Cottage did. He stared and stared at the building, trying to tease the feelings he had to the surface. Occasionally he'd feel the fishing line in his brain snag a thought, but as he plucked a juicy fact from his subconscious, it would slip the hook, leaving him more certain than ever that he was right, and that somehow he belonged here. Neither Catriona nor Tom avoided each other, but by the time she finished her ministrations, the barrier was thick with that awkward and invisible fog. Unable to sit still, Tom stood atop the rocky plinth and looked at the hill beyond the cottage. Drifting patches of shadow lazed over the bright green and brown skin of the small mountain. The path, a light green line where it was grassy and brown where it was not, ran up from the cottage for 50 meters before turning right. To Tom, it was suddenly a lifeline that joined him to a world he never knew. The world that brought Sparky and her friendly master to them. He looked left, searching for the man at work, but he moved on. The coast empty and wild and something. That almost something teasing him like a tickle in his head he couldn't scratch. Turning to the hill, another something caught his eye at the point where the path turned right. A pile of stones, too ordered to be accidental, lay to the left of the curve. Tom jumped to the ground, made his way to the side of the cottage, and climbed the hill. An old ruin, barely a small complex of rectangular waist-high walls, overlooked Cregan. The stream ran underground here, a pleasing backdrop to the serene and peaceful locale. Tom picked his way through the bracken and ankle-twisting clumps of heather. As he did, and as he neared the ruin, he inexplicably teared as though a small gust of wind gritted his eyes. He rubbed them, aware that there was no such wind, no swirling dust, no grit to make him cry. The smell of wood smoke drifted from Cregan and somehow gave life to the ruin so that Tom could almost imagine its ancient inhabitants huddled over the fire as another frustrated storm battered ineffectually at the walls. the very same unassailable walls that lay now as straight-lined jumbles of grey stone. Looking down on Cregan's roof, to the slightly sighing sea, to the distant hills and the never-ending sky, Tom did not find the view from the ruin beautiful. It broke his heart. Tears dropped to his cheeks, but Tom did not notice them. A sound, faint at first, caused him to turn on the spot. A soft sigh and then a song. A woman's voice seemed to rise from the subterranean stream and fill the air with sweet music. And then a violin, a fiddle, haunting the air like the plaintive cry of a lover lost to her love. An overwhelming sense of sadness and joy followed Tom through the ruin, and he felt then as though he never wanted to leave this place for the rest of his life. Beyond the walls, the hill rose steeply, the building itself on a flat step that formed a natural terrace, perfect for a small croft. A cluster of rocks caught Tom's eye. About 20 meters from the top left corner, it seemed to draw from him another sensation, a sensation that turned the joy of his discovery to a dread that closed the doors on whatever feelings they stirred deep within him. He stared, and the plaintive strings became a screech, and then a scream that fell to Catriona's call, beckoning him back to the cottage.
DreamWorks.com.